changer for us, for me. And today, I just wanted to kind of recap all of their series, both of those series. And then the title of this message really is just called, What's Next for a Son? You know, we recognize the things of being an orphan. We recognize the things of coming out of the orphan spirit and coming out of that mindset. And now that we're sons, and it's like, okay, now what? Because we can sit on information and not do anything. And how many understand that's not what we're called to do? Look at somebody and tell them, you're called to action. You're called to action. You're called to do something. And we've been on this journey, and it's been eye-opening. It's been amazing because God has clearly called us his sons, his daughters. Amen? Ephesians chapter 1 says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption. Somebody say adoption. To himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. It was already designed, ordained for us to be sons and daughters. Right? The problem has been is that the enemy has fooled us and got us out of sonship, and now we had to recalculate. You know that thing, the GPS recalculating. We had to recalculate and get back on track to where God has called us. Somebody say, I'm a son. I'm a daughter. God has called us to this thing. I think I read it in staff before, where we talked about, man, you are already from the foundation of the world a son, a daughter. It was done. God had a plan. Amen? And so we've been, somebody, the term, y'all ever heard bamboozled, hoodwinked, into thinking that we were something else when God has called us a son. Amen? We have a new family. Yes, you heard Pastor talk about the Adams family. That used to be our family. That's not our family. God has called us to a new family. It's like Moses. Moses, in the Word of God, Moses grew up thinking he was Egyptian. Because he was raised in a pagan culture. He was raised in the Egyptian culture. And then he found out, no, that was not his original family. He was a Hebrew. And he lived this life in another family. And he found out, God showed him who he was. Amen? So we grew up. I grew up for 25 years. Pretty much thinking I belonged to another family. I was doing things representing another father. And I wasn't doing the things of the family that God called me to. Somebody say family. But see, how many of you in this place had for a certain amount of time been living with another family? Some of y'all grew up perfect and in church and saved all your life. How many of y'all been saved all your life? We were adopted. Somebody say adopted. See, I had the characteristics of another family. So, tell you the story. When I heard a story about a little girl that was adopted into a family, and she was older. She was about 12, 13 years old. And the family went to the orphanage, chose her, said, hey, that's who we want. And so the little girl brought the little girl home, and the little girl was in the house and staying and all those kind of things. And they were cleaning up the table and everything as they ate and all that kind of stuff. And what they noticed a couple of times, and they really didn't say anything, but what they noticed was the child started was hiding food, was sneaking food and putting it in their clothes, putting it in her clothes. And so after a while, they just said, baby, why are you doing that? Well, in the orphanage, we never had enough to eat. And I didn't know I was going to have another meal. And the girl, they had another instance, and they had a dress for the little girl. They gave the girl a dress, and they hadn't seen the dress for a while. And they asked her, hey, where's this dress at? We bought you this dress. Where's it at? And finally she took them upstairs and undid the mattress and let the mattress up. She had hid her dress under the mattress because people in the orphanage would steal. She really didn't understand that she didn't have to hide food anymore. She really didn't understand that she didn't have to hide her dress. She was in a new family. And she was loved. Amen? Somebody say new family. Ephesians chapter 2 says this. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. See, in this passage, household of God means family. Somebody say family. For this reason, I bow my knee. In Ephesians chapter 3, it says, for this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. Somebody say, I got a new name. We used to sing this song growing up. I got a new name over in glory, and it's my. I ain't going to mess with y'all. I'm going to mess with y'all. But that's the, come on now. Oh, Lord. But that's the bottom line is when you accept Jesus, you got a new name. You are adopted into a new family. Somebody say new family. See, when you get married, most women, when they get married, they change their name. They take on the last name of the male. God has given us a new name. We are married to somebody new. Come on. God has given us a new name. And so, how many understand you had a different father? We served a different father. And check it out. Jesus confronted this in John 8, verse 38. I speak of what I have seen with my father. And you do what you have heard your father, from your father. They answered him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works of that Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works of your father. They said to him, we were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of the father, your father, the devil. Oh, that's strong. You are the father, your devil. And your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Look at somebody and ask him, who's your daddy? We had another father, and we were doing the things of another father because we didn't understand that God has called us sons, and we didn't accept him. So let's look at this. God confirms Jesus, right? His son. Luke chapter 3, and it said, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved son. With you I am well pleased. There it is. It's sealed. Done. You are my sons and daughters. In you I'm well pleased. And if you look on and study that even more, he was taken into the desert, tempted by God. And it says that, you know, he told him to turn these stones into bread and this kind of stuff. And what he was doing, the enemy, the fight is has been and will be for eternity for the thought of you not being sons and daughters. There's a fight against identity. There's a fight against you not knowing who you really are. There's a struggle. Always, we always are going to God or questioning things about our legitimacy. People do things and they act the way they act because they don't understand and know that they're sons and daughters. We strive. We fight for the victory instead of from it. Come on, we're striving. We want to fill our bellies. We want to do all those things. We want to attain the blessing, but we don't want to serve and do what the blesser wants us to do. So God has, listen, he confirms Jesus. He says, this is my son. I'm well pleased with you. When you decide that you know what? I am serving my real father. When you decide to become part of the family, this new family of Jesus Christ, you got to understand there's no more questioning whose you are and who you belong to. I'm a son. I'm a daughter of the Most High King. That's it. Period. Harriet. y'all know we keep a young man named Trendon, and Cassidy taught him to say that word, and that's all he would get on, and period. And we had to tell him, stop, just stop. So why, listen, why are we going through life having to prove to people who we are? What we got, you know, we always, this is called this, the addiction, approval addiction. Approval addiction. We are addicted to people's approval. Now, the thing about it is, there's sometimes we need to ask and seek approval in this way to make sure that we are on the right track as sons and daughters, right? But when it starts getting us out of God's will, and when it starts where we start hesitating doing what God has called us to do, that's when it's off. We got to stop running for approval from people and seeking our identity from them when God has already said who we are. Say, I'm a son. I'm a daughter. So the thing is, we have this thing called an inheritance. We're now brothers and sisters of Christ in this new family. Amen? What belongs to Jesus belongs to me. Hey, come on, Jesus. You got to share. We're brothers and sisters with this amazing entity called Jesus, this man of God who died for our sins. We have access to the throne of the Father. We can come boldly. We don't have to come. We learned this in this series. We don't have to. Well, God, if you will, please. No, because I'm a son. See, my daughter has no problem coming up to me and asking me for money. She really goes to her mother. because I question her a lot. But it's no problem for her or for my kids to come up and ask for something. They know who they are. Y'all get the concept. So we belong to Jesus. We belong to this family. So what now? And we see in Luke chapter 4, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." I do not see anything in there that says he has anointed me to get wealth. He has anointed me to do what pleases me. He has anointed me for everybody to serve me. What does it say? I am to proclaim the good news to the poor, proclaim the liberty to the captives, recover sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. As a son, a daughter, we are to do the work of Jesus Christ. We are not, now that we're sons and daughters, it's not about, hey, well, you serve me. I'm a son of the Most High King. I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. I'm the tail, I'm the head and not the tail, above and not below. But listen, this when you have been claimed, you, now that we've learned the orphan spirit, we've learned to go from slavery to sonship, now that we've had all this, now that we know who we are, now that we know that we're sons and daughters, now it's time to get to work. Now it's time to roll your sleeves up, get dirty, get out there in the slop, get inconvenienced. Because now you know who you are, you don't have to wander around and have people tell you and remind you all the time and all got to pat you on the back and be careful what they say around you. You don't need that anymore. I'm a son. I'm a daughter. Now it's time to get to work. See, in the old family, we were trying to figure out who we are. You know the craziest thing I've ever heard when people talk about going through a hard time? I was just trying to find myself. And I understand it. It's just a weird saying to me, because ain't you with you? Ain't you with yourself all the time? And I get it. But listen, the bottom line is you are sons and daughters. It's time to get, somebody say, do the work. The Bible tells us in Scripture, it says, by now you ought to be. But we give you a pass because now we're without excuse. We've gone through this series, and listen, if you, I really, really recommend you go through the whole series again in your private time. Go through the spirit of the orphan. Go through slavery to sonship. Remind yourself of who you are not anymore and who you are now. Amen? Come on, we are here to do the Father's business. We've been anointed. We all now are ministers of reconciliation. Look at somebody again. Tell them, do the work. Oh, come on, you got to tell them with an attitude, do the work. Look, I'm not going to do all the work for you. See, there's a percentage in the church where 20% of the people in the body of Christ do 80% of the work. And that has to stop because that's an unbalanced congregation. That's an unbalanced men and women of God. And that's what we see in church. We see that a lot. We see people come and they say, oh, I can't serve in nursery because the Lord has called me to be in the main sanctuary. I need to go worship. My wife posted something on Facebook yesterday. She said, that little cat and the woman screaming. That's crazy. It said, I'm called to missions. And they said, you won't even serve in the nursery. Come on. We're sons, we're daughters. Do the work, somebody say, do the work. John 4 says, meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. This is when woman at the well. Rabbi, eat. I have food. And this is what he said to him. I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, has anyone bought him something to eat? They didn't even get it. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Somebody say, do the work. See, now that I know that I'm a son, now that I know that I'm a daughter, some my desires should change. It's not all about satisfying me, satisfying my belly. It has to become about somebody else, me helping someone else reach their goal, me helping someone else be satisfied, me doing the work of Jesus Christ. See, we got to stop doing the things that we desire to satisfy ourselves and do the things that satisfy God. Your appetite. Somebody say, my appetite has to change. I got to do the work of my new father. Mark 3:35, for whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. That scripture came from where they talk about, hey, your mother and your brother, they outside waiting for you. My mother, my brother, my sister are the ones that are doing the will of my father. That's who I associate with. I ain't got time for other stuff. Yes, I'm going to witness, I'm going to proclaim, I'm going to go after, but I'm telling you, we have to associate with the people that are doing the work of Christ. Now, I'm not saying that we isolate ourselves and we live in this bubble, because that's not what God has called us to. But what I'm saying to you is we need to stop partnering with people that are not doing God's work. And the ones that say they're doing God's work always are masked in religion. They look good on the outside. They even use God's name, but they still serve another father. Amen? True sons and daughters obey their father. So you're talking about now what? Now obey. Obey his word. Obey what he has given us and given you. Through his word, we've been adopted into a family called Christians. We're Christ-like. We're supposed to be Christ-like. We're supposed to be the example of Jesus. We represent a new family now. We used to go in the grocery store or go in the store, and we used to get this talk before you go in the store. Look, you go in this store, you ain't gonna touch nothing. You ain't gonna be running around this store. You ain't gonna embarrass me in front of all these. That's what black folk did. I don't know what white folk. Johnny, now. Be on your best behavior. And I would give you a prize if you. See, the problem has been we've been representing the wrong family for so long sometimes. And now we're called to a new family. And now it's time to do the work that God has called us to do. Open blind eyes. Proclaim the gospel. Amen? Christ-like. John chapter 5 says this. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does. Likewise, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. See, our Father loves us so much that he's giving us the instructions and he showed us how to do it. He doesn't leave us hanging. See, now we got fathers nowadays, they're not sticking around long enough to show sons the way. But that's not our Father. He's given us everything. So he says, hey, I'm the Son. I don't do anything apart from what I see my Father do. I don't say anything apart from what I don't hear my Father say. See, as a son and as a daughter, sometimes we say what the Father has not said. Because guess what? We're trying to make it up. You know how people come to you and they say, and this is what kids do this all the time. Kids will go to they play the parents against each other, right? They go to daddy. Mom said, I can do this. Daddy said, I can do this. See, the bottom line is Jesus loves you so much, he wants you to succeed. And I've said this a lot, that you know what? God gets no glory in our failure. He can't be glorified if we fail. So that's why he gives us every instruction. This thing right here, this thing right here, if you say, well, I just don't know what to do. Man, I just haven't heard God's word. Or I don't have it. This is the answer. This is your instructions. If you're a son and you're a daughter, open this. I'm telling you, you will survive. You will overcome. You won't need nobody else laying hands on you. Yeah, you can. You won't need nobody else praying with you. You won't need all of that. You just can have his word. Now, don't get me wrong. We need each other, all those kind of things. But we cannot. See, the problem is that we try to add and we try to take away and we don't want to do the work. We don't want to read. We don't want to do those things. We want other people to do it for us when we have access ourselves. Amen? We want Pastor Charles to come to the hospital and pray for us because we don't want to pray for ourselves. And we get mad at the church because nobody came. When you got Jesus, when you are a son, you are a daughter, and you got direct access to him. Boldly. Come on, right? I'm a son. I'm a daughter. I don't need Pastor Charles. Stay at home. Say that gas. I got direct access. Amen. John chapter 5 says this, but Jesus answered him, my Father has been working until now. He has never ceased working, and I am too. I too am working. In sports, the athletes, they have this saying now called no days off. Always, they always working. They're always trying to get better. Well, in the kingdom of God, there's no days off. He's constantly, Jesus constantly is working, right? right now. He's in the presence of God, right? He's constantly making intercession for us. Because some of y'all need all the intercession you can get. Say that's me. No days off. We're sons, we're daughters. 1 Corinthians says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Constantly doing God's work. No breaks. Even if you're down and out, even if you're sick, even if you're, you know what? You understand that there's something to be, for God to get the glory out of this situation. Even if you end up in the hospital, guess what? There's some nurses in there that need to hear Jesus. Come on. There's somebody in there that you can be the example of Jesus Christ in the earth. No days off. Not everyone, Matthew 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. The one who does the will of my Father. The work of Christ is ongoing. The Bible tells us work while it's day. There's going to come a time when night comes. And no man can work. Look at somebody, tell them, get busy. Sons and daughters, get it done. They don't make excuses. They roll with the punches. They get it done. I'm going to finish up with these six things. Some actions of the son and the daughter. Number one, we make disciples. Matthew 28 says, and Jesus came and he said to them, all authority in heaven is in earth has been given unto me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Listen, sons and daughters are constantly trying to reproduce themselves. You have to reproduce yourself. You know, as a dad, you know, any of you that have children, it's funny how when they're growing up and they start taking on the traits of you. They're like, oh, my gosh. And then people say, oh, man, you look just like your dad. Or your daddy does. Or your mom does. Or this or whatever. Listen, it's time that we have to start reproducing who we are. We got to make sons and daughters. We have to we got to produce disciples. What are you producing? Who is watching you? Who is gleaning from you? Who are you raising up in the kingdom of God to be the next generation of leadership? The next generation of sons and daughters? Are we leading or are we just taking a walk? Sons and daughters reproduce. They make disciples. Listen, this is tough pill to swallow. And I've seen this a lot, where you have men and women of God that have a lot to say. I mean, they got a prophecy for you. They know the word, boy. They come in and they speak into your life and they try to correct you and all this kind of stuff. And I understand. I get that. I'm cool with that. That's okay. But what helps me understand and understand their validity is let's see who's following them. Because sons and daughters produce fruit. I'm glad you can quote the word. I'm glad you can prophesy. But it does no good if you have no one that's going to replace you. Y'all get what I'm saying? Somebody say, you got to duplicate yourself. But if we're not true sons and daughters, we're going to duplicate something that's not good. We'll reproduce orphans. We'll reproduce people that are not true sons and daughters. Somebody say, make disciples. Number two, sons and daughters please God. Sons and daughters please God. Colossians 1 says, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. Bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Bearing fruit. The scary thing is that either way, whether we're walking as sons and daughters or whether we're not, the bottom line, we are producing some kind of fruit. That's what's scary. We think, oh, well, like, this is the thing. When you're walking through tough times or you're away from God or you're doing something that does not bring glory to God, well, whether you think or not, whether you believe it or not, it's producing some sort of fruit. Somebody is watching. So we're to please him, walking worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. This, I'm not saying that you're not going to have tough times. I'm not saying that you're going to be perfect. What I'm saying is, as sons and daughters, we are to walk every day, understanding and having a dependence on him. You got to depend on him. Are you going to mess this thing up sometimes? Yes. Because if you didn't, you wouldn't need God. But the difference is, what am I striving for? Every single day, I'm striving to be his son, to be his daughter, to do what he has called me to do. Amen? Number three. Sons and daughters give thanks. They're grateful. I think we learned this too in the series. Thankful. 1 Thessalonians, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We show gratitude. One way that we can get out of sonship and get into selfishness and all those kind of things is when we are ungrateful for what God has done. You want to stop things in your life? Be ungrateful. Be ungrateful. How many understand God is good? That was number three, right? Number four. Sons and daughters live in purity. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that you set yourself apart, come out from among them. The fight today is for men and women of God is to walk in the gray area. How far can I get over on this side without being one of them? Y'all get what I'm saying? We become Christian spies to the world. We undercover. Christians undercover. And that's the thing. God has not called us as sons and daughters. We proclaim who we are. We stand up for who we are. We're unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's not just a young generation thing. I see it all the time in old folks, older folks, because we don't want to be the talk of the break room. We join in the talk. We don't want to be the ones that don't have friends and nobody sits with us at the lunch table. So we don't stand up and tell people not to talk about that person, not to bully that person. Somebody say, we live in purity. Number five, we love. Sons and daughters love. Amen? John 13, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. How can we say we love God who we can't see? And not love our brother that we see all the time. Listen, this is the work of Jesus right here. We say we love. We say we love you. We say we this. We say, yeah, it's say. But what do? Listen, love is always action. It's always action. God couldn't just say he loves you. Guess what he had to do? He sent his son. You know, I could say all day I love my wife. But if I don't do anything, it's just words. Girl, you know I love you. Well, act like it. Clean the kitchen. Do some dishes. Change the clothes out. Still working on you, Pastor Child. Listen, it's action. As sons and daughters, we love because we know who we are, and it's not about us all the time. We gotta be inconvenienced. That's the kingdom. The kingdom is about inconvenience. It's not about your comfort anymore. It's not about you being satisfied. It's not about you coming in here and they got to do the right songs and people got to come and they got to speak to you. Oh, they just walk right past me. Well, you looked at them too. You wouldn't have known they walked past you if you weren't looking at them. Y'all should know by now, don't say that to me. You just walked right past me and you didn't even speak. Well, you saw me, didn't you? Sons and daughters grow up. True son and daughter, we don't make it about us anymore. We know who we are. It's what we do. Lastly, sons and daughters have a belief that leads to action. Ephesians 1 said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope that which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and that is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might. Understand, with belief comes power. Guess what belief is? Not just an idea. A belief is action moving towards what the word has told you to do. If I believe and I do nothing, then that means I really don't believe. It's just like this. If somebody was to, you got a group of people right here, all gather right here, and I in the trust fall, and I just fall back, right? Well, I can tell them all day, hey, I believe you're going to catch me. Oh, I trust you. I ain't going to do it. That's not belief. You don't believe. We can say all day, God, I trust you. God, I believe you. I believe your word. I believe you're going to come through. And we still go and take a loan out from the bank. I believe. God, I trust you. True belief leads us to action. Amen. 1 John 3 says, and this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his son Jesus Christ and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. We believe. It leads to obedience. If we say we believe, if we say we believe and we do not obey, it's just words. It's got to lead us to action. John 14, 11 says, believe me that I am the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe an account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Look at my actions. Don't just listen to the words I say. Watch my life. That's what Jesus was telling them. Don't just believe what I say. Believe what I do. Look at what I do. Now, that's the scary part that we have the responsibility for. What are people seeing us do? Are people seeing us feeling sorry for ourselves all the time? Are people seeing us not being trustworthy? Are people seeing us not living up to what our mouth is saying? We're talking about how we love God. We're talking about how he is everything. We're talking about all we want is his presence. But we're living a life opposite of that with our actions. Sons and daughters just don't talk the talk. They walk the walk. Amen? See, will people believe in our Heavenly Father by watching you? That's tough. That's a tough pill to swallow. Who am I representing? What am I doing? If people have been around you for at least 6 or 7 months and don't know you're a Christian, something is wrong. Not just by your words, but by your actions. Amen? Now that we are sons and daughters, our life needs to look different. John 10 says, Jesus answered them, I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Hey, if we're sons and daughters, we know his voice, and we follow him, and we do what he has asked us to do. Somebody say action. Let me tell you this story about adoption. Because I really want to end this with us understanding and bringing all this thing together about who God has really called us to be. As you understand, we do not choose God. We didn't choose him. He chose us. He chose us. You know, you don't go into the adoption agency and the child sits and then chooses the parent. They choose the child. And what's so cool is it's almost as if God had this conversation with Satan. God walks into the orphanage and he sees the boy and a girl. And Jesus says, you know what? I want them. And Satan is like, wait. You mean you want the girl that had a baby out of wedlock? You mean you want the boy that's had premarital sex? You mean to tell me you want the girl that's struggling with her identity? You want the boy that's struggling with his identity? You want the girl that's had an abortion? You want the boy that walked out on his family and left his wife and kids? Do you really, really want the girl that's on drugs? Do you really want this boy that's an alcoholic? Do you really want this girl that cuts herself? Do you really want that boy that struggles with pornography? And God says, yeah, I want them. Well, Satan rebuttals and says, no, you can't have them. They're mine now. See, God wanted the boy and the girl because he knew what kind of father Satan. He's an abuser. He's a liar. He overpromises and underdelivers. So the devil says, okay, I tell you what. If you want this boy and girl, it's going to cost you your little boy. So what are you going to do about that? And God looks at him and says, you can have my little boy. Wait, no, no, no. Wait, God. Before you agree to this, let me tell you what I'm going to do to your little boy. I'm going to beat him. I'm going to spit on him. And I'm going to beat him beyond recognition. And God says, I still want them. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross for us. It's almost God bankrupted heaven. He bankrupt heaven so that we can be sons and daughters. We don't deserve that kind of love. But God looked at us and said, I want them. I gotta have them. Because without me, they have nothing. God has put into action something that we can never repay him for. He nailed his own son to the cross so that we could be adopted in to the family. He said yes to every person in this room. Bow your heads. It's time for you to understand that you are sons and daughters. And if you're in this place and you are not in the new family of God, God wants to adopt you today. He sent his son, Jesus, to die for you so that you can be a part of this new family.